Alrighty, welcome back everybody to the Trade Readers Podcast, the comic book club, where we read a different trade paperback every single week. I'm Daniel, you're Nathan, we're brothers, we read comics.
Yes, we do. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. What's the Daredevil theme?
Do-do.
I think that's Star Wars, but you just started Star Wars. It's like,
yeah.
Is that Walking Dead?
It's like a little bit of both.
There's a little bit of both in there.
Yeah.
Someone stole something from somebody to make one of those themes.
Are you making your voice deeper?
No.
No? What? Anyway, we got different time codes in our description. We got the book, which is Daredevil Yellow. We got Back Matter Matters in the poll list, but we start with the news.
Lots of news.
Bit of news. Spider-Man Noir trailer.
Oh, yeah, I did see that.
And release date. Or I guess we knew when it was coming out, I think. But
what's release date?
May 27th.
Pretty good.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Can't wait for that.
Very exciting.
Seems fun.
Yeah, I'm down for it. It's cool that they have like the two options. For.
Oh, you can do black and white.
Doing black and white.
I'm forcing Sophie to watch it black and white.
Be watching it and Sarah will be in the room, but.
Yeah.
It looks so good in black and white.
It actually kind of does.
Like, there's no... It's weird watching it in color, I think. Yeah. Like, I'm glad they have that for people that are weird, but...
Yeah, people that, like, just hate black and white for whatever reason.
Yeah.
They just don't get it.
Sarah's like that.
I think Sophie might be.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
I think there should be more things in black and white, honestly.
We got... You know the DC Compact Comics?
Yep.
Archie's getting some.
Ooh.
Coming September 2026. They're going to be kind of released alongside the new Archie series, but they're doing a couple different collections of those.
Yeah, they're doing like the Mark Waid run. They're doing like the Sabrina. They're doing Jughead, Zdarsky's Jughead.
Mm-hmm.
They're also having like an omnibus come out.
Oh, that's cool.
And Nathan, they're having an Afterlife with Archie Deluxe. Which is like all 10 issues.
Whoa.
The second half of that run, which has never been collected before.
Whoa.
Which is really sick.
Damn, I'm going to have to pick that up, actually.
I almost put the first volume on like my wish list, but then I saw this. I'm like, fuck that.
No, you got to get the deluxe, baby. Got to get the new one. Oh, that would be so cool.
Yeah, man. I'm excited.
Yeah, that's good news. I missed that part.
We knew about Oni Press and Archie, like, right?
We knew that they were doing a new Archie book, I think, but I don't know if we knew about the Compact comics.
Did we know about the team for the new book?
W. Maxwell Prince and then somebody else, right?
Fabio Moon,
and yeah.
Nick Cagnetti. Wild team.
That is a powerhouse.
I don't know what to expect with that.
I don't know either. I feel like...
It's going to be Archie like you've never seen before.
It's going to be
turn Archie on his head.
Yeah, because...
Surprise, he likes Jughead
W. Maxwell
now.
Prince wrote Ice Cream Man, which gets crazy, and Kryptonite. Superman Kryptonite Spectrum, which is also super fun.
Yeah.
And I feel like his ideas will work really well with Archie because in general, it seems to get kind of weird sometimes with Archie.
Right.
But I don't know if he'll be able to do just like typical high school drama stuff. So we'll see what direction he takes with it. But
yeah,
I'm also somebody that's never really read regular Archie. I feel like it's always Archie with, you know, a zombie apocalypse or getting hunted by the Predator.
Right.
Something like that.
You need a stick to it.
Yeah.
But. Oh, and there's a book called Archie in Hell.
See?
It's going to be written by Patrick Horvath.
Whoa.
From Beneath the Trees fame.
That's a big grab as well.
Tyler Crook on art.
Dang.
So, pretty sick.
Good creative team.
Whatever the fuck that's going to be about. I'm in.
Why is he in hell? How'd he get there?
I don't know. This is not coming out until like September, though.
That's fine.
Which is a bummer, but we'll wait.
I will. It'll be worth the wait. You could bide your time in hell, Daniel, with She Spawn. Did you hear about this?
Yeah.
It's going to have Gail Simone writing it with Ig Guerra coming this May. That's going to be a miniseries.
Uh-huh.
So.
Isn't it called like Lady Spawn or something?
It's called She Spawn, I guess.
It is She Spawn?
Yeah.
Isn't she like the Scorch? Isn't that like her book?
I don't know.
No, the Scorch is like a team, I think. But anyway, that's cool.
Yeah.
Nathan, you know Distillery, the publisher.
Uh-huh.
I guess they're taking a little break.
Uh-oh.
And they're leaving books unfinished for now.
Whoa.
I guess they were exclusive with Diamond, you know, at a better time for Diamond.
Oh.
Then all that jazz happened.
So they have to like fulfill a contractual obligation to only print with Diamond, even though they're going under?
I think they're just figuring it out.
Oh, okay.
But there's books like White Boat.
Is that still coming out?
Mischief of Magpies, Galactic, Endeavor, and City Beneath Her Feet that are all
dang
on hold for now.
Brutal.
Yeah. So that happens sometimes, I guess. Never happened before, I don't think, but
yeah, exactly.
And so publicly.
You know, IDW is coming out with like a little crime imprint called IDW Crime.
Good name.
Yeah, good name. You know exactly what you're getting. It's going to start with three new series. I forgot the name of the other two, but this one caught my eye. It's called Seven Wives.
Mm.
I didn't know any of the creative teams for any of them, but this one has Zoe Tunnel from Sink Your Teeth In and artist V. Gagnon.
Mm-hmm.
It's set in Arizona, Daniel.
Wow.
And it centers on the mysterious death of a man connected to a fundamentalist church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
I was about to say, is it like a LDS story?
Yeah, it is. It's an LDS crime story set in Arizona.
Oh my goodness.
And there was apparently 49 witnesses and seven wives that are a part of this story. And two detectives worked to uncover the truth behind the killing.
How?
I love a good Arizona book.
How aggressive. Let's see how that goes.
Kind of crazy.
Yeah. Did you know that Jorge Fornes is going to be on a Zorro book?
I saw that there was a Zorro book announced and like a Tarzan one, but I didn't know that Jorge Fornes.
Yeah, I guess he's on Zorro with writer Howard Chaykin.
Okay, nice.
Which seems cool.
Yeah. You'd crush that.
You do, yeah. I think really well.
Spider-Man Brand New Day is a comic, an ongoing comic that's going to be written by Dan Slott with art by Marcus Toe.
It's not going to be ongoing.
They said ongoing, Daniel.
It's going to be 8 max.
Yeah. I would be surprised if
the
it
one
makes
with
it
the same name as the movie.
Yeah.
That we somehow don't have a trailer for.
Yeah, what the hell is up with that? It comes out in like a week, it feels like.
It comes out tomorrow, actually.
Oh, no. What are we going to read for that when it comes out?
Spider-Man Blue.
I'd be down.
I don't know. Well, literally anything.
Have we read, like, what Spider-Man have we read? We read Life Story and One More Day. One Last Day.
One More Day.
We read some weird Spider-Man, so we'll have to figure out what
Spider-Man.
That's Spider-Man, that's right. That was just fine.
Kraven's Last Hunt.
Good Spider-Man book. Okay, we've done some good Spider-Man.
The Wedding.
The Wedding, of course. I think that was it.
There's probably more. Venom, does that count?
No.
Anyway, yeah, literally like anything.
Cool. I'll ponder it.
Yeah, you can pick that.
Okay.
I don't care. So you ever just like feel overexposed to certain characters and you're just like uninterested in them?
You're uninterested in Spider-Man?
Kind of.
The biggest character ever made?
Second, but yeah.
Well, merch-wise.
Probably.
Yeah. I think Spider-Man's a little bit more than Batman.
Yeah. I got a Spider-Man shirt at Target. It was like it was a Todd McFarlane cover, but like it's the black suit. I don't remember seeing any Batman shirts, but there are like a couple Spider-Man ones to choose from.
Okay.
Maybe that's just the licensing thing on Target, but.
Yeah, it must be.
But.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. It's just like, there's none that I'm like, oh, I gotta be.
Yeah,
you know
what
I mean?
I feel the same way.
And. Yeah, I guess.
Is there like any Spider-Man that people are like, oh, you gotta read this?
Probably Ultimate.
Yeah, but that's too long.
Yeah.
You can't just like give a reader. Like a new reader, I think Ultimate Spider-Man.
So you want like just a single trade?
I guess like a good solid trade. We could do Superior maybe, but that's not even is that even Peter Parker?
For a little, I think at first.
Oh, okay.
But doesn't it end up being Doc Ock or something?
Yeah. People hate it.
They hate it? I thought some people like it. I don't know.
I think petty people hate it, but I think it's supposed to be good.
Gotcha.
I'll think about it though.
Nathan,
what other news you got?
Horror of Godzilla is a new book coming out from Ethan Parker and Griffin Sheridan.
When's it going to be our time, Daniel?
I don't know.
Those guys are podcasters.
I guess we got to do like a Image comic
And then just winning Eisner off of it.
Did they win?
They got nominated.
Get nominated.
That's still crazy, though. First go.
Tristan Jones on art. And that's coming out in July. Let me show you the...
What's it like that they're living your dream writing a Godzilla comic?
I don't know if
I don't know if they're still podcasting.
I don't know if I'd want to like collaborate with you on like everything I write, you know?
I wouldn't.
Yeah, exactly. You wouldn't want to collaborate with you, or you wouldn't want to collaborate with me?
No comment.
Yeah, just like one together for like a jumping off point.
Yeah.
But the horror of Godzilla is supposed to...
Isn't it like a retelling of the first movie?
Yeah, yeah.
Or the first attack?
Yeah. Did you see the art for this?
No. Oh, that looks awesome.
Isn't that fucking dope?
Is that part of the book?
Yeah, I think so. I hope so.
It looks like just a really solid commission someone did.
It's another...
What the hell?
There's only three pictures, but you can swipe...
Dude, that looks incredible.
...to the right.
Whoa. Wait, this is something else.
Yeah, I'm like, I don't even care who's writing this. I just want to look at this art.
Yeah,
you know
can
what
you
mean?
Just like get rid of the word balloons? I'll look at the pictures.
There should be more like that.
Yeah, I agree.
You saw this?
Yeah, I did.
Fuck yeah, dude. So.
That's pretty sweet.
Normally I get kind of sick of Godzilla news, but this is fucking dope.
But just do Godzilla week. That'd be so tiring.
A week?
Or Godzilla month.
I'd probably want to do like Kaiju month, if anything.
Okay, I could feel that.
But like, they have books that like that aren't just Godzilla, you know, that are in like that universe, I think.
Like a Mothra?
I think they're like Best of Mothra. But I guess those are probably just
kind of anthology.
Godzilla issues that have Mothra in it, you know?
Yeah, probably. Dude, we have to do like Super Mega and...
Yeah.
I don't know, other Kaiju books.
The Giant Cockju.
The Giant Cockju, yeah. You read that one?
I don't know. I guess Down Runner is kind of like
pretty,
a kind of a kaiju book.
That was part of our big robot month that we bailed on, but
there's got to be kaiju.
Oh, I'm sure there is. There's that John Layman one.
There's what, the Godzilla one?
No, it was like a big red monster, and he was doing it with the guy that did Axe Wielder John. But I don't think they finished it, so it's probably not collected.
Nick Vitara,
yeah. You don't remember that book?
Is it the Bermuda?
Nope. That's somebody else. That's Nick Bradshaw.
A kaiju book with Nick Vitara that wasn't finished. Huh. There's also the Kaiju number 8, which is a manga.
It's Leviathan.
Leviathan, I remember that.
You remember that?
That wasn't collected?
This guy. No, I don't think they finished it.
Oh.
So.
Yeah, I do remember that one. Okay, Nathan, what book did we read this week?
We read Daredevil Yellow by Jeff Loeb and Tim Sale. With
a goated team-up.
Goated team-up. With Richard Starkings and Wes Abbott on letters.
Who gives
a
fuck about them?
And Matt Hollingsworth on colors.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Okay, yeah, he does a really good job.
He does a phenomenal job in this. This is way better than I thought it was going to be, visually. Story-wise, it feels like nothing happened.
Yeah, it's like... It's like an origin thing at first, and then it's just kind of like some issues, you know?
Uh-huh.
It almost feels like an ongoing in a way, but it's just this self-contained thing.
Yeah.
We'll like get to like the end, but...
Very abruptly, yes.
Yeah, it ends pretty abruptly.
But I like this a lot.
Remember in Daredevil Born Again, when he's like hitting the punching bag,
mm-hmm.
and the sound effect is fap?
Yeah.
There's no faps in this from punching the bag, but there's a fap from catching the billy stick.
Oh, billy club. Fap is a good billy club catching sound.
Yeah, it's like fap.
Yeah, yeah.
And I giggle every time I see it.
Dude, I wasn't so even
because it's like fap with like an exclamation point. Like,
okay, yeah. We're really excited about it.
Loud fap.
Yeah. There was loud fapping in this book.
Yeah.
This is the only Daredevil I've seen where I see the yellow suit and I'm like, I kind of fuck with this more than the red suit.
No, this works so well in this book.
I don't know what it is. I think it's just how Matt Hollingsworth like is just so good at what he does.
Maybe. Yeah.
I mean, I think the all red one that we kind of like start out with because it's like red Daredevil is like the president.
Dude, I didn't even catch that. I like wasn't even thinking about it.
About what?
Like how this is all red here?
Yeah, because the red Daredevil is the president And then Yellow Daredevil that we see is like origin.
That's almost like a spoiler.
Why?
Because like,
you know, he's red normally.
I don't know. Maybe in just this universe, he's yellow because.
Yeah, it could be.
Just because, you know.
But Tim Sale is a fucking treasure.
He's so good.
Every page, I'm like, it just feels like he's just on another level. Every panel. The action stuff is really fun and fresh.
His spreads are nuts.
The spreads are crazy. I think he's got some of the best spread.
Yeah, good spreader.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sometimes I like forget what his style is like.
Mm-hmm.
And so you kind of got to like get into that, you know? Because this is definitely very different from Frost Seasons.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
And Frost Seasons is like a very humble kind of style, I feel like.
Yeah.
And this one feels way more Frank Miller inspired, I guess, because he's kind of a brawler.
Definitely,
he's brawling some people.
Definitely way more gritty.
Yeah, definitely gritty.
So.
And I don't, yeah. I should read Long Halloween. Because I know I've seen some like panels in there. And I've seen him get like pretty weird with like some of the villains and stuff in there. And how he like represents them.
Should we just like read it for like a Halloween book?
That's so long.
Well, we got to do it eventually.
We will have to do it eventually.
We're going to do like a 1,000 episodes and never do Long Halloween. Like one of the most like recommended Batman book. Like one of the top five, you know? How many issues is it?
I don't know.
Is it 12?
It's long though. It's in the title.
Yeah.
I think, is it even issues? I guess it would be.
Long
Halloween. We could do it this year.
I mean,
just based off how much I enjoyed reading this.
If we know about it like far enough in advance, you know? 13 issues.
Yeah, it's hefty.
And then how many pages are these issues? 48 pages per issue.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, dude. I don't know how they got that shit in like compact form. Isn't there a compact Long Halloween?
384 pages.
Yeah, dude, it's big.
But you gotta admit, like this
quality, this, like, I'll do it.
Not even quality, but like it flows really well and there's really good pacing.
Yeah,
it's not
true.
Very dialogue heavy at all.
Yeah,
like I was kind of stressing because I didn't read this like by the end of the weekend, you know. But then like as soon as I like set some time aside, I'm like, oh, like. Fly through.
Yeah,
this.
You do get into a good flow.
Yeah, you go into a flow state and then
the flow state.
As long as we know about it like a couple weeks in advance,
we can do it.
It'll just be a long ass episode.
That's fine.
Mm-hmm.
It'll just be us glazing Tim Sale the whole time.
Exactly.
Well, let's get into it, Daniel.
We can do part one, part two episode. Like little bitches.
Nah. Just rip it all.
3-hour episode. Let's go.
So chapter one, Daniel, this.
Yep.
Daredevil's flipping around Hell's Kitchen. He's thinking about Karen. She's dead. Or at least that's pretty implied in the beginning.
Do you remember how she dies?
Drug overdose?
That's in Born Again, isn't it?
Yes.
Is that... That's
canon?
That's got to be canon, right?
I think it's canon.
That was like the 80s.
Right? Yeah.
This came out in like 2000.
This is 2001.
You know what?
And I know it's 2001 because Tim Sale knows... He draws so good that he signs his spreads.
Yeah, he's like,
Tim Sale, and it's like 2001. That's my favorite part of Tim Sale. He's like, this shit's gas. Let me sign that one real quick.
A lot of people do that.
I know, but like, it's always his best ones. So I like that about Tim Sale. What were you saying?
You know, Karen's like actually like never come back in continuity. I heard that somewhere and I just...
Really? I could see that. Because he's
why don't you come back in Stephanie Phillips' run?
That would be awesome.
It probably happened.
And she's the Winter Soldier?
Maybe
that's who
spy.
Omen is, or whatever her villain name is.
Is who what?
She's introducing a new villain called Omen, I think.
Ooh.
And I only know that because I was like, that's a Valorant character.
It's like it's like a devil, you know?
Yeah. I'm excited for that run. I hope it's good. It could not be.
But I
have a feeling that it'll be solid.
There's like been renumberings in my comics reading lifetime. I've never really picked up a number one.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you know, so that'd be kind of exciting to try.
You never picked up the Chip number one, Daredevil?
Just reading trades, like digitally.
Mm. I think I've picked up every Daredevil number one since Charles Soule.
Yeah, the Charles Soule number one?
Yeah.
Did you get the Saladin Ahmed one?
Yeah.
Oh.
Was that the most recent one?
Yeah.
Yeah, I picked up that one and I was like, this is not good.
I wonder. Yeah, I think I'm just like, I just knew I wasn't really like interested. And they like kind of hand off Daredevil. So it's not like a that much of a jumping on point because you're still kind of, you're in it, you know?
Right.
But not like I'd start at the beginning, but.
I think Chips is a pretty good one to just jump in on. Charles Soule had some continuity stuff that he was doing. Yeah.
Like, we jumped into, like, in the middle of his run for an episode last year.
But he is a great ongoing Daredevil.
I think. I could see that being enjoyable.
Because he partnered up with, like, Old Man Logan at one point, because Old Man Logan was, like, part of the Marvel universe for a little bit.
They just brought him over.
Yeah.
I like how they, like, barely talked about that. He's just there.
He was just there in the team up for an issue, and I was like, this is weird. But it's cool. But anyway, Daniel, in this book, Karen's dead. She'll never come back. Unless she does in Stephanie Phillips' run. He goes into the boxing gym his dad used to box at, and we get a backstory thing. So Matt Murdock's dad, Jack Murdock, known as the boxer Kid Murdock, was a heavyweight boxer, and he was getting afforded opportunities to win in fixed matches. And one match he's supposed to lose against Crusher Creel. Pop quiz, who's that? Do you know what villain that is?
Creel.
Nope. Absorbing Man.
This is my next guess. You only give me one guess.
You don't know Absorbing Man?
Do not.
He's the guy with the big fucking... He's got a big wrecking ball sometimes he swings around.
Oh, okay.
Okay, never mind. So he's supposed to lose the Crusher Creel, but Matt's dad decides to win the fight instead so he can be a winner in front of his son. And the match fixer, Sweeney and Slade, has Jack killed. And Matt Murdock loses the court case, calling it a murder. And then he goes to law school to become a lawyer. And also Daredevil to get, like, revenge.
He draws his dad so fucking cool.
Dude, his dad looks so... He draws the thickest men.
Oh, yeah, dude. Like,
just the... that one, I was like, yeah. That guy's got some broad shoulders.
I would not want to box that, dude.
And, like, reading this on, like, a tablet, it was definitely preferred because, like, the big pages, like, that page where he wins is... So good because there's just like so many emotions from the crowd because you could see like the fixer, like mob people that are like pissed.
Yeah.
And then over on the right side, Foggy and Matt Murdock are like super happy. Mm-hmm. And just the way that it's colored as well, it just is very well done. But the boxing feels pretty like brawly, I would say. Because
mm-hmm.
you see a couple of panels of him like trading punches.
Yeah, it's like only hits.
It's really fun. Yeah. So there's definitely some Frank Miller stuff in here, I think. Like, you see some of these panels were, like, heavily silhouetted, I feel like. I mean, it's kind of hard to, I think, separate some of this stuff from Frank Miller, especially the way that Tim Sale draws.
Yeah, I think...
But it's cool. I think it works really well.
Yeah, it'd be weird if it was, I don't know, just, like...
Him deliberately trying to be against that.
Yeah, be too realistic or something. It just kind of... If something works, it works. It's not, it also doesn't feel like copying. It's like just inspired.
That's just kind of the identity of the character now.
Yeah. Daredevil's yellow because like he uses dad's like old boxing robe.
Oh, yeah.
As like material.
Mm-hmm.
And I like that.
I like that too.
I'm like, I don't know if that's like always the canon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've seen it. I think that's how he explains it in the show when he's yellow for a little bit. And then I've seen it
that one could other be because time. Of this, you know?
And I've seen it another time, for sure.
The reasoning?
Yeah, the reasoning that he's yellow for a little bit.
But, well, he, like, isn't his first appearance he's yellow?
Yeah.
So, and they say that back then?
I don't know back then. I haven't read that.
Mm. Mr. Do you think, know-it-all Nathan over here.
Yeah, I'm just a bigger Daredevil fan than you. So
that's true, yeah.
Do you think this is the buffest Daredevil? Because he's fucking massive.
He's like
in this.
Yeah, just unreal. You like, can see his obliques
through
yeah.
his fucking costume.
I'm like, Tim Sale doesn't know what muscles look like. He's just kind of, he's just filling it in.
Yeah.
He's putting muscles where he could fit them.
Does Daredevil normally wear his underwear outside? Or is it just kind of like a big red suit?
Well, is it like that in the red?
Yeah, in the red, he's got the trunks.
You tell me, Mr. Know-It-All Nathan.
I think normally it's just kind of like this red morph suit thing. But I think this works.
Yeah, I don't think he's always had trunks.
Yeah.
But like I think trunks are less embarrassing when it's the same color as your pants, you know?
Yeah.
So, but it works for, you know, Tim Sale style.
Should I do trunks?
For your
for junk? My Daredevil?
Yeah, dude, you don't want to see your junk.
That's a good point.
There's something that is good for cosplay. It's supposed to be like for your junk. It's almost like a jock strap, but I can't remember what it's called.
Probably just like a cup type thing.
Something like that.
Yeah, I'll have to look into that.
Yeah, I'll let you know. I'll let you know what to do with your dick.
Okay, cool. But chapter two, Daredevil's hunting down the men that killed his dad, and he busts up some crime meeting that the two mob guys are at.
They're just playing cards. It's hardly a meeting.
I mean, that's what bad guys do. They play fucking poker or whatever this is.
Dude, when...
In a dark room with like a lamp.
A perfect book would be Tim Sale doing all two-page spreads, and it's just Daredevil jumping around and you see him at different points.
They're so good.
It's like the best.
I think there's like a lot of great Daredevil artists out there, but I think what Tim Sale does the best is the movement of the baton or the billy club.
Oh, it makes no fucking sense.
No, it's awesome because in this, you see him throw it.
Yeah.
And then it hits a bunch of stuff, and then you see Daredevil move throughout the room at the same time, and then he catches it with a fap.
Yes.
At the end. And I'm like, I don't think I've ever seen that. Because it's like the baton's moving in real time or whatever, and Daredevil's moving in real time at the same time, and then he catches it at the end. I just love that idea.
It's it's made out of like vibranium or something.
It's definitely a little Captain America physics.
Yeah.
But it's always been like that. He's always used it to like hit a lever a certain direction or throw a light. Or it hits
I'm
two
not
guys.
I'm not complaining. It's just funny, you know?
But yeah. So he busts up a crime thing. He traps Slade and he chases after the Fixer, which brings him to a subway where the Fixer has a heart attack while running and he dies. Daredevil turns both men into the police. And then we get in the past, Nelson and Murdoch hired Karen Page to be their secretary at the new office.
Did you see Daredevil use the billy club to like board slide down a rail?
Dude, I was like, I had to like double take on that. I switched the page and then I went back and I was like, is he fucking grinding on
dude.
That's the most unique thing I've ever seen him do with that.
That's a fucking that billy club. That's my favorite part.
No way that was the fastest way to do what he was trying to do. You know what I mean?
He himself could have slid, but I think the metal on metal is probably the fastest.
Yeah. Just fucking grinding it. It's so crazy.
How do you feel about the 1D on his chest?
I didn't even notice until like issue 5.
Neither did I.
Yeah. What I think is weirder is like little circles on his arms and his legs.
I don't think that's weird.
It's just an interesting choice because you never see that.
Yeah, I didn't even notice until now. Because it's like the same color as like the shine.
Right.
It's almost like you don't even really
notice
it.
But you just think like they're trying to... Because I'm pretty sure this is only in this run.
Maybe the circles?
The circles, yeah.
Probably.
I could be wrong. Maybe it's in his first appearance and that's why it's there. But I wonder like who made that decision to be like, we should put some like circles somewhere.
Sometimes things just like look plain, I guess. And so they
noticed it because sometimes he's in silhouette, but the circles are colored. I just think it's an interesting choice.
Yeah, dude, he's got circles.
In the first appearance?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Would have to zoom in, but it's a legacy thing, Nathan.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I didn't know that.
Yeah, you learn something new for your Daredevil knowledge.
Yep, I did. I like this scene where, so the Fixer has a heart attack and he dies on like the tracks of a subway train, and you hear like the chugga 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 of like the train, and he throws his billy club at like the little lever that's for some reason right there, like in the tunnel. Uh-huh. Where no one could like actually fix it. But I like that he like clearly has confidence that he's going to hit it when he throws his like billy club to switch the train tracks. And then the train like goes by him. Just very work. It works because it's like very cinematic to me.
It's okay. You know, he's there. That was there, you know, and then just the timing was like perfect, you know?
Yeah. Timing was cool. I could like see this happening like some sort of animated movie or something.
You remember with our romance book this year, Alex and Ada, at the end of one of the issues, it had that like cliffhanger page where it's like the back of someone's head, someone in the middle,
and
someone in the background.
Mm-hmm.
They do that like same, well, they do the same thing as this.
I think it's pretty typical like camera angle.
It's just like a very like comics only kind of cliffhanger, you know, like last page thing.
Yeah.
And I just noticed that and I thought it was interesting.
Yeah, I'll have to look out for that more.
I'm sure this is like
it probably happened as
the two examples out of like, you know, so many comics that are out there.
I think it's happened 100 times on this podcast.
No.
Think of how many issues we've read through, thousands maybe, at this point.
Maybe like 5.
No, over under at the lines at like 20 at least.
I like how I thought for a second, like 1,000 issues?
But yeah, dude.
Like totally.
We've totally gone through over 1,000 issues for
like
sure.
1,600 at least?
Yeah. I mean, shit. Saga and 52 alone, that's 100.
Saga, yeah. Anyway.
Issue 3?
Yep.
So the Fantastic Four break into Nelson and Murdoch to enlist their help with some legal administration. There's a fucking door you could use. But God, the thing looks so fucking... That's, freaky.
It's a really good thing.
It's a great thing. I like his eyebrow. But
I like the shadow that his eyebrow casts.
I like how fucking he looks like just a menace with his eyes. There's no rock eyelids. He's just eyes.
Yeah.
But the Nelson and Murdoch team decide to celebrate their first clients being the Fantastic Four by going to their favorite dive bar. And they hustle some dudes in pool. Matt has to beat them up in the alley after that because they feel like they got hustled. And then Slade, who killed Matt's dad, is receiving the death sentence in prison, I guess. And then a woman named Grace goes to Nelson and Murdoch for help, but gets scared and backs out at the last second. But later, her husband, the Owl, shows up looking to employ them.
Have you heard of the Owl?
Yeah.
Never heard of the Owl.
He's in Chip's Run.
Oh.
And I've seen him in one other thing. He's also in the show, which you probably didn't know.
I did know that because I looked it up the other day.
He's that old guy?
I guess so.
I don't think he flies in that. I didn't know he flew. I didn't know he's a flying guy.
And had like talons for feet.
That I didn't know either. He's just a crime boss.
Yeah.
That looks like a little bit hairy in Chip's Run. I don't think he flies around.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's a freaky character.
Right.
So Foggy and Karen don't know that Matt Murdock is Daredevil.
Yeah.
And they're pretty sure he's blind. But Matt's like playing a game of pool like perfectly.
Yeah.
How does he sell that idea?
His explanation for everything is just he just does. You know, he just knows.
I get that. But you gotta at least be like, hey, how many degrees to what direction should I hit this ball or whatever?
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Because
it's a little on the left or whatever.
There's no explanation.
Like at least I guess it'd take a long time for, you know, Foggy to like adjust him every time his turn, you know?
Yeah.
But how'd you like the Helen Keller jokes?
Those are good. Good Helen Keller jokes.
Like Daredevil didn't like that people were telling Helen Keller jokes, but then he had a bunch just kind of ready.
He's maybe probably heard them all.
I like this one. It was like, what do Helen Keller's parents do to punish her? And it's rearrange the furniture.
That's a good one.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
Yeah, there were a few of them, huh? There's one that was like, Matt's like, do you know the problem with Helen Keller jokes, Foggy? And Foggy's like, you've heard them all in Braille before?
Yeah.
I thought that was stupid because he could obviously hear.
Yeah. Anyway. So yeah, there's actually a couple appearances or like cameos that you don't necessarily expect from.
Yeah, it's fun.
Like,
I think
Jeff Loeb, Tim Sale thing that is limited, you know?
Mm-hmm. My question is why? So they take the Fantastic Car to like break into the Nelson Murdoch.
Yep.
Why is the thing in this like tiny ass sidecar?
There's only 3 spots. Yeah, it's like only one foot
woman
fits in there.
Invisible Woman's in this big ass seat. She's a baddie, by the way. Did you look at her?
No, dude.
Look at this.
Let me see.
Look at the curves.
Oh my.
Yeah.
There's like, I mean, I guess like Elastigirl is like kind of loosely based on her or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, those kind of curves.
Yep. So chapter 4, Daredevil fights and beats up Electro, which is his first sort of crime fighting outside of being connected to his father. And he's like, this is pretty cool. The team goes bowling. Nelson and Murdoch Karen helps Matt bowl, and it's like a little seductive a little bit. They're doing like sexual bowling a little bit. And then later, Matt Murdock sees the death of Slade via electric chair, and he doesn't like the smell. And then Foggy reveals he's going to ask Karen to marry him. A little out of left field. They're not even dating.
Yeah.
So it seems like a big jump.
Yeah. Like a Matt and Foggy like love triangle like seems wrong, but it just feels right, you know? I'm interested, you know.
It is pretty interesting.
If this had more room to breathe and they're actually like really fighting and trying, yeah. Like, I think like
I could see this creating a bit of turmoil in the relationship for sure.
Right.
I mean, I think you see that a little bit in the show, but she ultimately just kinda wants the Punisher, right? Because there's like a little bit where Foggy is clearly flirting with her a bit until she sets some boundaries. And then her and Matt had a thing for a little bit in the show too. They kissed. I know that.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Do you know how Daredevil got his powers?
He was saving somebody from getting hit by a truck and then the truck flips over and some radioactive chemicals get into his eyes.
Yeah. They said it was a radioactive isotope.
Yeah.
That took away his vision and heightened his senses.
Yeah.
I don't know. This is a very specific phrase for noun that
isotope?
Causes that. Yeah.
Isn't that part of like...
Couldn't tell you.
I think isotopes are typically involved with things being radioactive.
So is that like a redundant statement? A radioactive isotope?
No, because...
Isn't an isotope like multiple atoms or something?
I don't know what I'm fucking talking about. Let me see.
You were in science more recently than I was.
Yeah, which is not very recently at all. Isotope. Each of two or more forms of the same element that contain equal numbers of protons but different numbers of neutrons in their nuclei, and hence differ.
That's what I said.
You did say that.
I remember
you said
stuff.
It just more efficiently with better words.
Yeah, dude.
In particular, and hence differ in relative atomic mass, but not in chemical properties, in particular, a radioactive form of an element.
Right.
So, yeah, saying a radioactive isotope, I think, is a little bit redundant. So I was right. We were both right.
Or it's more descriptive for people who don't know the definition of isotope.
Because I think things can be radioactive without being an isotope. But isotopes, I think, in
nature.
I think
an isotope can be non-radioactive, probably.
Isotope would be a cool superhero name. Do they have that?
Isotope. I bet in like the Astro City universe there is
Isotope Image Universe.
Ooh.
Specifically appearing in the Invincible comic series. Fake fan over here.
That was my second guess.
He's an assistant to the crime boss Machine Head. Oh, that's right. Is that the guy that teleports?
Is it? Oh, maybe that's where you're pulling from.
That must be where I'm pulling from.
Dude,
it is. It's the guy that teleports.
Dude, I should request that dude who makes those 3D prints to do like a Machine Head model.
I know where your family lives. I see that like every couple of months. Till I say you're fucking done. And he gets like really low. I see just that clip every like couple months. It makes me laugh every time.
And then like you watch it all and then you get like a bunch of them.
Yeah.
And
I know where your family lives.
He needs his own show, dude.
What?
He needs his own show.
Dude, he does. I would watch the whole fucking thing.
I
want to
see
him. I want to see him get mad. I want to see him be happy. I want to see his origin.
Yeah, dude.
Who puts the fucking auto-tune in there?
It just...
Because that was a choice.
That's how it happens. Like, that's the only way it comes through.
Yeah.
It's the best.
Where the fuck were we? Oh, there's a part in this where Matt is, like, in his old apartment. Which, by the way, I think... Something that works is he's just in a dark apartment because he doesn't need the lights on.
Right.
I love that. But there's a part where he's looking at a photo of him with his dad and he starts crying. But I thought he like couldn't. I don't think his radar sense can like see photos.
Wait, say that again?
He's in his apartment and he's looking at a photo of his dad and he's like crying.
Yeah.
Because he's looking at the photo. But like, I think that's part of the thing.
He was also like at that boxing match watching his dad or whatever.
Right.
Even though he like can't see him, you know?
Well, yeah, people were probably just like, yeah, he's just supporting, but he could actually see what's going on. Yeah, I just thought that was interesting. I remember I was reading one Daredevil comic and somebody was trying to show Daredevil something on their phone and he had to like bluff and be like, wow, it's crazy. And that just made me laugh too. I never thought about that.
Yeah.
They're like, they're here. Or like, this is a video of the, like, the thing that I saw.
I saw a TikTok. I don't know if it's like true, but I guess like Charlie Cox got some award from some blind association that like thought that he portrayed being blind the most accurately. And it's like, how do they know?
Yeah.
How do they know? Hey, they did well.
That's a good point. So, I didn't know they were watching a whole lot. They're like, yeah, he sounds deaf.
Yeah.
Or he sounds blind.
So when they go bowling, Foggy's like showing off how good he is at bowling.
Yeah, that's aura loss, by the way.
Yeah. That, I don't think that's like ever a cool thing.
He said strike-a-reno when he got a strike.
Yeah.
So dude, I don't think you're pulling Karen, buddy.
No shot. Have you ever heard that saying that like you're either good at eating pussy or good at bowling?
I went bowling this last weekend and I lost. So
ah, there you go.
Sophie beat me, actually. So she's not good at eating pussy.
So you you probably lost on purpose because you like heard that and you just assumed that she knew that as well.
No, I tried really fucking hard. I didn't get a single strike.
Really?
Yeah, I don't think it's happened to me in a while.
Were you trying to like do the spin thing?
No, I was trying my hardest to just shoot straight.
Really?
And I didn't get a single strike in two games. I was there for 2 hours.
We went bowling like a couple of years ago, last time I went, and me, Dad, and Carter were fucking like going at it. We were like so competitive for no reason. We were just like, we're kind of neck and neck.
Dude, I think about this one time I went bowling in high school, and I was there with, I think it was like my girlfriend at the time and her friends. Mm-hmm. So I didn't really know anybody there. And I had just reached a flow state. It's the best I've ever been at bowling. And I don't know what I was doing to be that good at bowling, but I've never been that good ever again.
And no one was impressed.
I was like well into triple digits, which is like pretty good for me.
Yeah.
I was like maybe 180, I think is what I bowled. It was fucking nuts. I had like a turkey, I remember. And
nice.
I was like, I've never been able to reach that. Something possessed me. It must have been that, who do you think you are? I am guy.
Yeah. But yeah. He's like still alive, but his spirit was in
me. His spirit was in me, yeah.
Anyway. Oh, wait. No, yeah, go ahead.
There's a couple scenes in this where it turns black and white, and I just love that. Because it's the scene where Slade, the guy that killed his dad, gets the electric chair.
Yeah.
I just think that works well.
You ever seen The Green Mile?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like, I like never knew like how people get like the electric chair or whatever, but they have to like wet that sponge and put it on their head because mm-hmm. like that like it'll just like burn them.
Yeah.
But in that movie, like some dickhead new guy, like he doesn't wet the sponge because he just, I don't know, doesn't like the guy or something. And so he like catches on fire like when the chair is on.
Yeah, that's fucked up.
And he just like burns to death and it's like it takes like a minute for him to die.
Damn.
And so I just like think of that movie.
How long does a normal electric chair take? It shouldn't take that much, right? Probably like a couple seconds, two.
I think they kind of play it out in that movie, but it made it seem like 30 seconds. For sure, they do. But
because that was a long, long scene.
Yeah,
or felt long at least.
Yeah. So,
but chapter 5, the owl has taken Karen hostage, and Daredevil has to go to the top of a tall building and really lock in and just listen for her to find her location. And so he kind of locks in on her. And once he's there, he frees Karen and has her just kind of run off while Daredevil fights the owl who's flying around. And the owl nearly flies away, but Daredevil, like, I don't know, ropes his billy club around his feet and he catches him. And then he wrestles him into the harbor. And the owl probably drowned in that fight because he never comes up for air again.
He just kind of looks like he gets the like back head, of his head to his nose.
Yeah, he gets headbutted, kind of, and then just goes unconscious, and he probably died. So, But Foggy sees Matt and Karen flirting as he's about to propose, so he's like, man, this sucks, and he throws away the bouquet, and then he leaves. Which would have been crazy to just propose in your place of work, too.
Yeah. Just like, I don't know. It's like, it feels like such a cliche, you know, to fall in love with your secretary or whatever. Yeah. Or, you know,
there's a big power dynamic.
Want to be involved with like the only woman in the office or just a woman in the office.
Yeah.
But
yeah, a lot of power dynamic going on in there because that's like your boss. So it's a little bit crazy. I wrote down, did you know that owl could fucking fly? Because I didn't know that at the time.
Not until I saw that page where he flies.
Yeah, but you didn't even know who owl was.
And then he's got the feet that grab him.
Dude, he's got some crazy feet.
All by the shoulders. Mm-hmm. Gross.
He looks just like kind of silly flying around too, which I love. I love like the campiness of this book that's been like pretty, I don't know, crime noir-ish.
Yeah.
Besides the Fantastic Four part.
Like, the owl is kind of like a legacy character kind of thing. So they just kind of keep doing it. No matter how, like campy, like you said, is.
Yeah, if they just need, like, a bad guy.
Yeah.
That's kind of expendable. I think they'll just throw in the owl a bit. Mm. Even though he's, like, a crime boss now, but.
The Daredevil listened to the whole city.
The whole city. And he's like, no, not you. And he moves him out of the way.
I know Daredevil is unrealistic, but, like.
I've never liked.
I like there being like limits to that, you know? Yeah,
because I
like if you can hear shit in the nearest building that he's around, like that seems fine.
Mm-hmm.
But
I think if you're trying to listen,
when there's such a loud city like New York,
yeah,
you know,
yeah, exactly. Like I feel like if you're gonna do that, you'd have to hear screaming and not just like talking, because there's obviously a lot of noise in New York and Hell's Kitchen going on.
Yeah,
so I could see like. Hearing screaming through all of that noise and kind of heading towards that, but just like regular talking, which is what Karen does here in a building.
Yeah, which is like, whatever.
Yeah. I think this is a Daredevil that has the thickest thighs. Did you notice that?
He's kind of thick all around.
Look at these thighs, dude.
Yeah.
They are
definitely the biggest shoulders, too.
Yeah, biggest shoulders. The shading in general makes him look incredibly muscular.
I really like this panel. Where he's like coming up for air, like, and then like the moonlight reflects off the ocean.
So good.
Or lake? Ocean?
I don't know.
River? Hudson River?
Probably. Is that what it is?
I think so.
In New York?
Yeah. Is that connected to the. Connects to the ocean?
I don't know. Geography.
Ellis Island or whatever?
I just call it the harbor. I don't even know if that's the correct statement. By the way, this is a good cityscape when he is trying to lock in and listen to everything.
That is really good.
I looked at that and I was like, fuck. That looks awesome.
It's like, hell yeah, brother. Yeah, his like backgrounds are like kind of my favorite part.
Dude,
of
he does
art.
Not cut any corners.
No, dude.
It's always like fully fleshed out architecture.
Windows and fucking bricks.
All the buildings
shit.
Look lived in because it's like kind of messy in like most of the buildings and stuff.
Yeah.
So it's very, he clearly puts a lot of attention to it.
Yeah, fuck that spread's awesome. Is Empire State Building, like, in the middle of New York?
No, I think it's kind of to the side.
Because, like, he goes to the top of it as if that's, like, the best scanning spot, you know?
Yeah. I'm looking at New York Lakes.
New York Lakes?
Yeah. Where's Hell's Kitchen? That's a real place, right?
Yeah. Jackie used to live there.
Did she see Daredevil?
I asked. She said no.
There's Lake Success. That's one of a. That's a smaller one.
Mm.
This must be the Upper New York Bay, or the Lower New York Bay.
You know what? It's like kind of in the middle of like Manhattan. It's not like closer to one river or the other.
How far away is the Empire State Building from Hell's Kitchen? Because does he have to go like out of his way just to go up on top of the building?
Probably. Oh, 7 minutes.
Drive? Walk?
Drive. 21-minute walk.
Okay. So yeah, that's reasonable.
He could have just been in the area.
Yeah. So I like that Karen Page is... She's trapped in an owl cage.
I didn't even notice that.
I think that's really funny. And something that
like,
I never...
Like, there's not much to his, like, lair or whatever.
Yeah, not much to his
identity. That's the only, like...
He also has a bunch of owls that he just like released at one point.
Oh, does he?
That would be scary. Yeah. There's a bunch that kind of like flew around Daredevil and kind of fucked with him a little bit. It's this panel.
Oh, dude. You know what? I didn't even register those as owls, honestly. Yeah. They kind of just look like normal birds. Not necessarily owl specific. Oh, there's a big one.
Mm-hmm.
It's all close by.
But I like that. Something I just hadn't thought about is that he can... probably radar scan just the weak points of the bars, which just seemed like to be the middle because he just kind of rips it or like pulls it open.
He says that, doesn't he?
He says that he, yeah, knows where like the weak points of like these metal bars are, assuming they're metal.
Yeah.
But I'm like, that's kind of an interesting thing I haven't thought about.
Yeah, I'm not sure like what sense he would use that helps out with that.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, maybe it's just like vibrations.
He gets... He's just like Karnak all of a sudden.
That's a good book.
Karnak?
Yeah. So chapter 6, Nelson and Murdoch are appointed by a judge to represent the villain, the Purple Man. When Matt and Karen go to meet him in jail, the Purple Man mind controls Karen and the security guard to escape. But because Matt is blind, he's unaffected. So I guess it's like a visual hypnosis thing. But he follows Purple Man to a hotel room and starts fighting him. But he has to save Karen, who's being like brainwashed to jump off the balcony. So he saves her. He eventually catches the Purple Man and turns him in. And then Daredevil and Karen set up an official date. So not Matt and Karen, it's Daredevil and Karen. Then we jump to the present again. Daredevil's in all red in honor of Karen, who's still dead. And he purchased his dad's old boxing gym to honor him as well. So it kind of just like abruptly ends.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, remember I killed... We don't like see how Karen dies, which is what I figured we would see in this.
Right.
Because there's like a heavy... It's very heavily Karen focused.
I just kind of almost... Because like Blue is almost like a retelling. Spider-Man Blue.
Yeah.
But that's just kind of like from a different perspective almost. Mm-hmm. And so I... When I was reading this, I just thought it was kind of a retelling of the origin, you know, like a Batman Year One or something.
Right. Which,
you know,
I would say this kind of is.
But then, like, it's almost like they're treating, like, Karen Page's death like Bruce Wayne's parents' death, you know? Like, we know.
Or like Uncle Ben.
Or Uncle Ben, yeah. Like, yeah. You don't need to show it.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
But in the specific case, as far as, like, I don't know, our knowledge of it, or at least mine. I'm like, how did she die again? You know?
Mm-hmm.
But maybe they didn't want something so... Because that would have been a weird way to end a book. Just seeing how Karen dies.
Yeah.
And then just like, okay, all done.
You know? Good job.
But yeah, Kilgrave is in this.
It is cool.
I didn't expect that.
Yeah.
Each issue is kind of like a... Like a...
Different villain, I guess.
Villain of the week kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't realize... The Purple Man's actually purple, like his skin is that kind of purple.
Yeah.
And the people he's controlled turn kind of purple when they're under his control.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I didn't know that either.
That's neat.
I've seen him in like another Daredevil comic, but it was just to like undo some continuity in like a really weird way. Mm-hmm. So that everybody forgot who Daredevil was again.
One of my favorite parts of this book is when they're in the hotel room.
Yep,
and
I know what you're talking
Daredevil
about.
Gets there and he uses his famous catchphrase. Here comes Daredevil.
That's when he breaks in. I was reading this and I was like, here comes Daredevil.
I mean, like,
and then I visualize this page without that word balloon there. And I'm like, it just works way better.
Yeah.
He doesn't need to say anything.
And he just rams like the room service cart into Kilgrave.
Yeah.
Which means like, that means room service came to the room. But Daredevil walks up. He's like, I got it.
Yeah.
You know, like the people didn't really knock on the door.
And they're like, oh, okay.
And then he just rams
it. Maybe he found a room service cart. And he just
got
there. Well,
there's food spilling. So I assume that's like what they ordered.
True.
I guess they ordered soup and a burger.
Maybe he just threatened the maid. Or not the maid.
You think Daredevil threatened someone?
I think he just was walking up and was like, can I use this? And then they got scared and ran away.
So, yeah. He's not even yellow the whole time, which is interesting. But
well,
Karen says something about liking the red. Red's like her favorite color or whatever.
Yeah, but I feel like she says that just because she's in the presence of a superhero that asked her, do you like red? And she's like, yeah, I like red.
Like he shouldn't take it that much to heart, you know?
Yeah, he's like, I know you love the color red.
Yeah, just stick with your shit, you know?
Yeah, he does say the line, let's paint the town red. And I'm like, that's kind of a good line, I guess.
Like, ooh, Doja Cat.
Yeah. So that's why he's red. So we honor, which it feels like weird because the yellow feels way more important to just his backstory in general because it's like his dad's colors.
Yeah.
Which is why I feel like they had to include I bought my dad's boxing gym to give people a second chance or whatever.
Yeah.
And he has a criminal working there, which I thought was kind of cool. He has like a reformed criminal, I guess.
Oh, okay.
That like did the time already.
And it's also called Daredevil Yellow. You know,
yeah, just so keep it's yellow. Like, who cares?
He was in yellow most of the time. You know, I thought it was just kind of going to be like a random story where he was just has a yellow costume and they didn't really talk about it that much. But
yeah,
It almost would make more sense if it was called Daredevil Red, you know?
Right. But this colored one of all of the ones that they've done has the most emphasis on the color, I feel like.
Because
like in Spider-Man Blue, it's not like...
He's very blue.
They don't talk about why he's got blue in his suit.
Yeah.
That might be the case for Hulk Gray, because when he was originally printed, he was supposed to be gray and then turned green, but... Do you know the story behind that?
Yeah. I think it's like probably like their retelling of why that is.
I like that. I think that's cool.
Maybe we'll get to it one day.
Yeah.
I have no interest in like any other Hulk run.
No, I think that one would be good.
Gray?
Yeah, because it's also Tim Sale.
Right. Yeah. I don't care about like World War Hulk that much.
Oh yeah. Or like, no, I don't think I do either.
Or like whatever.
Maybe the Donny Cates one.
I actually read the Ryan North issues last night and it's pretty sick.
Of Hulk?
Yeah, we'll get to it.
Oh, cool.
Anything else on this one?
Nope.
Alrighty. Back Matter Matters.
Yes.
Back Matter Matters.
We get a sketchbook, which is perfect. That's all you need for this Back Matter is just hell is going through Tim Sale's mind and seeing it in pencil form versus ink form. Which is really cool. So we get some process pages, some promo art, and then Tim Sale's like pencils to ink wash process, which I think is really just fucking cool in general. He was such a powerhouse.
I know, dude. That was a tough one.
Yeah. That was, 2 years ago?
Gosh. Yeah, I guess so. It was one of the more recent ones.
In the time since we've been doing this podcast,
definitely.
I think Tim Sale and
George Perez,
I think were the bigger ones.
Yeah, you're like, fuck, dude.
And you're like, not him. 2022 is when he passed away.
Damn,
that's a long time. 4 years ago.
Yeah. It kind of took a bit of me to... I got my Long Halloween signed by Jeff Loeb at... Ooh. The last Phoenix Comic Con.
Oh, yeah. He was there. Yeah.
And I was like kind of standing in the line. I'm like, I hope no one fucking brings up Tim Sale. Like, it just like would be like a weird thing to say to somebody.
Well, people probably don't even know. Like, oh, I love the art in this. Tim Sale's great. Like, they might not even necessarily know. Yeah.
But if they were like somehow like apologized or was like given sympathies.
Yeah, that would be weird.
To Jeff Loeb. Yeah, I don't know. People are weird sometimes, but.
Yeah, I think in comic conventions, sometimes people don't have the social intelligence to say the right things a lot of the time.
Or you get nervous with someone.
Oh, yeah. True. And you just don't know what to say.
Somebody like.
Yeah.
And so I just kind of, I know what I'm saying because I go through my lines in while I'm waiting. But I just kind of, I can't help but listen to what other people say.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever fucked up an interaction. Except, do you remember when we were talking to Doc Shaner? And he was saying that he was working on some sort of DC book. I don't know what happened to it because I don't think he's come out with one.
Yeah, I've just seen covers from him. I was thinking about that.
He was like, oh, I'm working on something for DC. And we were like, can we guess what the character is? And he's like, it's a weird one, but sure. And I couldn't think of anybody. I said like Red Arrow, I think.
Like Arsenal?
Yeah, Arsenal, pretty much. And I was like, I should have just had a better weird DC character lined up. That would have been good for Doc Shaner to draw.
Yeah. I feel like with any artist, you got to think of like a big one that they haven't done. That would be cool. Or like also underground kind of one.
I was trying to think of one that would fit Doc Shaner's style, which is like he can pull off some of the more campier people if he needs to.
Campy, like happy.
Yeah.
With DC.
Because he was big on Shazam, right? It was kind of like a campy character.
Yeah.
In a sense.
That works really well.
Yeah. So I was trying to think of one that would be like a...
He already did like Plastic Man.
Yeah. And he was perfect for that.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was tough for me to think. Under pressure, because he was right there in front of me signing my book.
Yeah.
But I did feel good that I brought him the Terrifics, like his issue of Terrifics, which is really fucking cool. And he was like flipping through it. He was like reminiscing.
Yeah.
I was like, damn, he knows I know ball.
Yeah, because you're just kind of like... churning stuff out that maybe you don't like go back to certain stuff like
right.
that. And he probably doesn't get that signed a lot.
Yeah. Because
people are just like number ones and whatnot. Mm-hmm. But yeah. What Do you rate this, Nathan?
It's a yellow food I could give this.
Mmm.
A good old banana split.
Lima beans.
Are lima beans yellow?
They're like tan, I think.
I'll give this a big old banana split, Daniel.
Mmm.
Visually looks great, but sometimes when you get into it, you're like, ah, it is what it is, you know?
Yeah.
But you look at it and you're like, fuck, that looks good. And that's what I would give this.
I give this like a lemon meringue pie or something.
Mm.
Like, you know, it's like kind of classic, you know?
This feels very classic.
It definitely like hits the spot if you're in the mood for it kind of thing. I think this could kind of hit the spot at all, like normally, but I can't say that it's necessarily that different. Like, it's different because it's like them doing it, but mm-hmm. as far as like the plot is not that much.
Yeah, not really.
So
I think it just kind of goes,
there's not many shitty lemon meringue pies, you know. They're all pretty structured and consistent. Yeah.
I think maybe the idea behind this is that maybe in Born Again, you don't see them interact that much.
Who?
Matt and Karen. It's kind of like a shorter story.
Yeah, because she's like a junkie and she's
already a junkie.
And then she dies. Or
yeah. So I think this is more like kind of shining light on what their relationship was like, which is still not a whole lot, it turns out, in this book.
Yeah. And
they don't really.
Born Again's like the 80s.
They flirt a little bit, but then she is kind of like eyes for Daredevil.
And if that's when she dies, then it's only the stuff before that that they really kind of interact.
Mm-hmm. So it's just interesting.
So it's pretty bold of, you know, like Netflix or whatever to have her as like the character, you know?
I think it works.
Definitely. What do you think they rate this on League of Comic Geeks?
Easily in the fours. How deep into the fours is tough. I feel like everybody rate it like a 4.2.
4.5.
Really? Okay, good.
Yeah.
That's probably what I would rate it.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Solid.
At the very least.
That's like a 9, basically.
Nice.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Good. Good. Those guys know ball.
Yeah, I feel like people mostly talk about Spider-Man Blue.
Yeah.
More than Daredevil Yellow.
I don't even remember Spider-Man Blue that well. I read it very early on.
I just remember all the Gwen stuff, basically. So
I remember the MJ stuff. Is there MJ stuff?
Isn't it just all the retelling of the Gwen Stacy death?
I think there's the you lucked out tiger page or whatever.
Oh, you hit the jackpot?
Yeah. I remember that. And I'm like, is that?
Bro doesn't even read comics.
What?
Bro doesn't even read comics.
Don't remember that specific page. I could be wrong even, but yeah.
Okay. So let's get into the pull list, Colin.
Shove it in your box.
The pull list. What did you shove in your box?
What'd you get today?
I got the two things that you got, which was End of Life.
You copier.
Vertigo book with Kyle Starks and Steve Pugh. Pretty excited about that.
Yeah. How do we know Steve Pugh?
Peacemaker Tries Hard.
That's right.
Which was that same creative team.
Good job. They must be homies.
They must be. I guess after Peacemaker, they're like, let's do some other shit.
You got Muppets Noir?
And I got Muppets Noir.
Hell yeah, buddy.
I was looking for that Declan Shelby cover, but they didn't have it.
No!
I literally picked up the last issue of Muppets Noir.
Really?
Should sell them like hotcakes, Daniel.
That's so funny.
Yeah. I also picked up Absolute Batman 17 and Death Fight Forever, which is an Andrew McLean book. He's just the writer and creator of it.
But his covers and stuff?
He does covers, and I was like, I don't know if I should pick this up if it's not Andrew McLean art. And I flipped through some of the pages, and I was like, yeah, I'm picking this up. So I'll let you know how that is. It just seemed like very bold like coloring choices in there.
Mm-hmm.
So it seemed fun. So I'll check that out.
For sure.
And then...
You didn't get Florida Hippopotamus Cocaine Massacre?
I saw that that was doing good numbers.
Really?
Apparently, yeah. I just saw an article on it.
That's cool.
I don't think I saw that there, or else I probably would have at least looked at it.
And I wrote it down, but I don't think I'll end up buying it.
Yeah, and then I bought Daredevil Meets Jeff the Land Shark for Sophie.
Yeah, and they got like, that variant cover.
I got the Jaws variant cover.
Yeah. And not what you'd expect. Did you read anything?
Yeah, I caught up on Absolute Green Lantern. So I read 9, 10, and 11. And
congratulations.
It's fine.
Really? Okay.
I think I'll give it 2 more issues, and if it doesn't wow me, I'd just drop it.
You're giving it a really good.
I was glazing run. Last week.
Yeah, I know.
I was like, dude, this is like, we're picking up. It was cool. There's some good drama in there. You know, Joe Moline was cheating on her girlfriend. I was like, ooh, we got some spicy goodness. Stuff in here. And then like these last couple issues, I'm like, shmeep shmup. So we'll see. There was promising stuff in there, but if it takes too long to get to it, I'm just not going to get to it, I think. So we'll see.
Okay.
And then I read Spider-Man Noir number 4, which you gave me. And I agree. I did not think that they were going to go in the directions they were going. I don't even know how whatever happened. Because like Spider-Man Noir like loses his powers and there's another Spider-Man Noir running around killing people.
Yeah.
And I didn't really catch how that happened.
Because the guy that was fighting like stole his powers because they were like he was like sucking the life out of him.
Okay.
And so while doing that,
I don't think I realized that that's what triggered that. Right. Or like, yeah. So I was, but it's good for the story.
Yeah.
Because he was trying to be like, oh, how am I supposed to kill Spider-Man if I'm Spider-Man? But now there is a Spider-Man that's going around killing people.
Yeah. So I'll just kill that Spider-Man.
Yeah, I'll kill that Spider-Man and then I'll solve my problem. And hopefully I get my powers back.
That would be such a wild ending.
Dude, I know.
I have it. And I was like, I should read this before Nathan gets here. Yeah. But I didn't.
Oh, of the. Is 5 out?
5's out. It came out last week, I think.
Oh, okay. Got it. And then I read Bleeding Hearts, the new Vertigo book with Denise Kemp.
Had a second printing already.
Oh, does it?
Yeah.
Cool.
How'd that go?
I like it. Yeah. I think it's a very interesting twist on like a zombie story.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I love it enough to like recommend it to people, but
yeah,
I think the art style is pretty fresh. It feels almost like a Gorillaz comic or something.
Yeah. The cover made me think of like Toxic Avenger almost.
Yeah, it's got a little bit of a style like that with like a little bit more street hip hop vibe to it. But it's
Dude, I almost fucking got some like Tank Girl comics from that Whatnot stream.
That'd be cool.
And it had like the Gorillaz artist who like created Tank Girl.
Oh, I didn't know that is who created him.
Yeah, her. And it looks fucking cool. I don't know. I could have put more money on it and still would have like saved money, but I just like kind of gave up for some reason.
Yeah.
But anyway,
but Bleeding Hearts it's kind of just like a interesting take cuz it's a zombie apocalypse, but it's taking the perspective of zombies that are like pretty like mentally there, I would say.
Oh, okay.
And one of them is like feeling bad because they're eating like all the humans and stuff. But the main zombie has a beating heart and she doesn't know why.
Fucking spoilers, dude.
No, it's like in the very first couple pages.
Yeah, that I haven't read.
Oh, okay. Whatever.
I'm just kidding. That was spoiled for me. I saw TikTok about it.
Oh, okay. I think it might even be like in the solicitation or whatever.
Mm.
So it's not like there is a twist at the end of the comic.
Solicitations are kind of a spoiler too.
They are. 100%. You should just pick something up if it looks good and not read anything about it and go in blind. Yeah,
don't listen to this podcast because Nathan will fucking spoil it to you.
I think it's good. I think you'll enjoy it if you read it, but
yeah,
I
don't know where it's going. Let's just say like going for it on the other Vertigo stuff. Like we like it if we don't like it, you know?
Okay, sure.
And unless there's something that doesn't feel like a spoiler, but that seems like the only thing that sets it apart from other zombie stuff.
No, I think what sets it apart more so is the fact that it's a zombie that has like empathy and is being like, man, are we really be eating all these people?
Is that like a Jennifer's body thing? Or no. Fucking
warm bodies. No, because he falls in love. I don't think I think he's chill with eating people.
Good movie, though. Moving on.
What'd you read?
Fucking Hulk smash everything, number 1 and 2.
He'll smash anything that moves.
Yeah, he does. I don't remember subscribing to it, but I guess I did. I like read it because I just wanted to like drop it before
the next one.
It was too late, but it is too late. It's a lot of fun. It's not very wordy, you know, which is like kind of what I wanted almost.
That's good.
You know? It's like dumb in a good way, you know? It's like
sure
as dumb as a book called Hulk Smash Everything
yeah.
would be. You know why Hulk is smashing everything?
Because he's real angry.
Because, yeah. You know why he's real angry?
No.
Because the leader,
uh-huh,
he smacks Bruce Banner with like a cast iron in the back of the head.
Damn.
He's fucking pissed.
Yeah, I would be pissed too.
And the leader, he sends him back in time.
Oh.
To where the asteroid hits the dinosaurs.
Wow.
Doesn't kill him.
Cool.
But before it before it hits, he's like, Hulk smash dinosaurs. He's just fighting dinosaurs.
Let's go.
And it's fucking sick. And then in the second issue, Hulk is like smashing rats that are eating like dead dinosaurs, and that's like changing the future or whatever.
Oh, that's funny.
And so the leader has to go back in time, and so then he sends the Hulk into like a black hole, and that's where like that issue ends.
That seems fun.
I'm like, this is fucking dope. Yeah. I thought he was gonna send him to like the Big Bang or something, but no. Yeah. Black hole is probably pretty good too.
Yeah,
so we'll see where that goes.
I can't imagine there's a whole lot to smash in there, or maybe there's everything to smash in there. We don't really know.
Who's to say?
Yeah.
But yeah, good time.
That's cool.
I read Jupiter's Legacy 2, the second volume of that.
Oh, okay.
I like flipped through the first volume.
Just to catch up.
Yeah, that's a great book for that. You know, I'm like, yeah, I remember that, remember that. Mm-hmm. And then just kind of
like, yeah, they're hiding. Yep.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm like, what do they say here? I'm like, yeah. And then I was fucking right back in. And then
really? Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah. Because like, that's kind of like a shock value kind of book, I feel like. With yeah. Some of the stuff that happens.
Well, there's like a little, I don't like know, back and forth.
We also read it. So like it,
yeah,
it was
true.
A long time ago, but like we read it to where like, and then the show came out. So it kind of was fresh enough for me.
God, the show was so mid.
Yeah, it was very bad. But the book was really good.
Mm-hmm.
Because Frank Quitely on art.
He's great.
And he's incredible.
He's the second volume too?
Yeah.
Cool.
But not in any of the rest of them.
Got it.
So it'd be kind of hard to go the prequels because yeah. They renumbered these, so this is technically in the renumbering, it's volume 4, but there's like two.
I forgot he did a Star Wars.
Yeah, there's two prequel volumes and then there's two sequel volumes, so I don't know.
Miserable.
I don't know. I have the 4 main ones, so I'll probably get to the rest of them, but I don't even, is Will Torres does the rest of it? Wilfredo Torres?
Mm-hmm, that sounds right.
Yeah. So, I can't remember what I've seen him on. But we'll see. But I was like running out of time to fulfill my extra trade a week goal.
Mm-hmm.
And I read Jupiter's Legacy 2 in like an hour. So, that's a great book for that.
Cool. Soon you're going to run out of books that you could just burn through really quickly.
I know.
So
I need to I need to lock in a little bit more. yeah, so because I thought I'd run out. I'm like, oh no, I don't have anything short, you know.
Yeah,
but I got two more Jupiter's Legacies if I need it.
Yeah.
And I like a couple mangas here and there.
Yeah, you gotta break the glass.
Yeah. And, and I read Animal Man number 3. I just kind of read that here and there.
Yeah, when you got the availability.
Yeah, the first volume of that is like 9 issues. So I'm just kind of going to read the 9 and see if it's like as good as everyone says it is, kind mm-hmm. of thing. I've been getting a lot of like recommendation TikToks and like Animal Man's like always in there.
Yeah, it's in there.
And so I'm just trying to figure out like why.
Mm-hmm.
Like I like what I've read. Like it is paced well for like a older kind of book.
Yeah.
But
I see some of those recommendation like TikToks and I don't ever put any faith behind them unless I see a book that they recommend that I really like that I feel like nobody's ever read. Like I'll see someone in there that's like, it'll be like Murder Falcon they recommend. Yeah. And I'm like, okay, yeah, let me look at all these other recommendations. Or it'll be like Layla Star.
Right. Well, it'd be like, I guess you can just do like, some people will just put like a picture and it'll be like a sentence. Like, give me recommendations. I'll look at the comments.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be a lot of the same shit.
Yeah.
You know, like, Long Halloween and stuff like that.
Gotta read Saga.
You know, I put in Saga if no one has said Saga, you know?
Okay, yeah.
Because everyone should read Saga. Watch anything?
I did. I finished Fallout Season 2.
Mmm.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
It ended well.
Heard it's boring.
beginning of it's boring for sure. I think this would have been a much stronger season if there was two less episodes.
Did they make it to Vegas?
They sure did, Daniel. There's death crawlers in there, which is cool. It's big little alien.
Oh boy.
Big alien dudes. Yeah, I think it's fun. You get a lot of the answers questioned. Questions answered. I hate myself.
I'm like, wow, it's one of those.
you get the answers questioned. No, you get a lot of the questions answered from the beginning of the season. There's some cool like power armor fights. I think it's pretty solid. I think I like the first season a little bit better, but I still enjoy this. And
I'm happy for you.
I didn't think would watch this show have been watching it, and I think it's very interesting.
Like whom?
Like one of Sophia's friends who has never played the games has been watching it. Dad watches it a little bit. He watched the first season and said he liked it.
Yeah. Who knows what Dad watches?
Yeah. He'll always just pull out some random ass show.
Yeah. He's like, dude, I watched The Penguin. I'm like, really?
Yeah, exactly. Or I'll be like, dude, The Last of Us. It's crazy.
He's like, Sandman season 2. I'm like, what do you mean?
Dude, did he actually watch Sandman?
Yeah.
Oh my God. That's so funny.
He's like, I didn't watch it because the dude's a creep. And he just continued to explain to me how much he liked it. I'm like, okay, dude.
That's funny. So I think it's renewed for season 3, which is cool. And then I also watched the movie Send Help.
Ooh.
The Sam Raimi movie.
Yeah. In theaters still?
Yep. I saw it in theaters.
How'd that go?
It's awesome.
Nice. It looked bad.
Like genuinely like awesome.
Nice. That's good to hear.
It was different. It was a different Sam Raimi movie until it's not.
Ah.
And I was like, there we go. Like, I think it's good like all the way through.
How many Sam Raimi movies have you watched? 3?
Evil Dead.
You seen Evil Dead?
Yeah.
Rise?
No, not Rise. Well, I have seen Rise, but I know that's not him.
You saw OG Evil Dead?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
You know, Spider-Man 1, 2, 3. I've seen Doctor Strange, Multiverse of Madness.
Ah, I forgot about that one.
I actually really like that one. What else you got that's popular?
Drag Me to Hell?
Long time ago.
Really?
I think so. I think I saw it at Aunt Dawn's house for some reason.
Really?
That's where I remember watching it.
Bizarre.
I don't think I watched it all the way through. I might have been scared. I haven't seen any Army of Darkness.
That's just the third Evil Dead movie.
What's the second Evil Dead? Evil Dead 2?
Yep.
I haven't seen that. But I know, like, in general, what his sort of directing style is like and how kind of chaotic it is. And there's, like, glimpses of that throughout, like, the first half of this movie. And I'm like, okay, this is kind of cool. And then, like, towards the end, it just kind of goes in a different direction than you'd think. And I think that it's like pretty awesome. And I will say that.
You've seen Oz the Great and Powerful.
Oh, I have seen that movie. It's not very good.
Have you seen The Gift?
Yes. Wait, is that the one with that ginger dude and Jason Bateman?
No, that's.
Oh. That's, is that The Box?
That might be another The Gift.
Oh, damn it. What is this The Gift then?
It's got Keanu Reeves in it.
What?
Kate Blanchett, Katie Holmes, Keanu Reeves, Giovanni Ribisi.
No, I haven't seen this.
Yeah, did I? Darkman? You ever seen Darkman?
Nope.
That seems cool. Crime Wave?
Nope.
All right.
I don't claim to have seen a lot of his movies, but I know kind of what his fun violence sort of style is like.
Okay.
Chaotic violence.
But
anyway,
good stuff.
Yeah, really good. Rachel McAdams is a phenomenal actress. I knew that going in.
Go.
But I'd never really had an opinion on Dylan O'Brien, but he fucking crushes this role. He's like really, really good in this. Like it just kind of changed my mind on his acting ability in general.
Wow.
Because all I've ever seen from him is like Maze Runner and one other thing, I think.
Oh. Bumblebee.
Didn't see that movie.
Good movie. Is that even him?
No, I don't think so.
I'm pretty sure.
What was the other Dylan O'Brien movie I've seen? Deepwater Horizon.
Oh, yeah. I remember that.
I forgot he was even in that movie.
Uh-huh.
Oh, he's in The Internship?
Yeah, dude. He was Bumblebee.
He was Bumblebee?
Yeah, in the Bumblebee movie.
He acted as Bumblebee?
He voiced Bumblebee.
He voiced it. Oh, cool. I didn't know that. Anyway, this movie's good. Definitely watch it.
Cool.
There's a... Nah, I won't say anything about it.
Thanks.
It's good.
Cool.
There's just, like, genuinely, like, funny stuff in there, too, that, like, I didn't expect. So,
it's good. I always get worried about stuff that comes out early in the year, and... I don't know if Sam Raimi's had like the greatest track record lately.
Yeah.
You know? And so I just kind of worried about it. You know, I think people, you know, love Spider-Man and stuff and Evil Dead and whatnot, right. But he hasn't like directed an Evil Dead thing in like a long time. Yeah. So.
I will confidently say it's worth the watch, but I don't know if I'd necessarily say go out of your way to go watch it.
Okay. So maybe streaming hit or it's a rental.
Yeah, great rental, great streaming movie.
Okay.
I left the movie and I was like, that was really fun.
So don't support the cinemas?
You can support the cinemas. I did.
Okay. Is that all you watch?
Yes. What'd you watch?
Yeah, I was watching some Sesame Street with Lucas.
Cool.
And that shit's hilarious. It's actually really good. It was just like some shit that was on Netflix. But
who's making you laugh?
Cookie Oscar? Monster?
Yeah, that dude's funny.
Oh, so fucking. I didn't know he like said stuff. Really. I just thought he ate cookies. I don't know. But
no, he says stuff. He's got
like,
some bangers.
He like makes cookies for everyone and Elmo's like upset about something. And so he tries to give Elmo a cookie. Uh-huh. And then Elmo's like, no Cookie Monster. I don't want a cookie. He's like, and I just like related to that so much.
He's just like, dumbfounded.
Who would want a cookie? Yeah. And then like a couple of seconds later, he's like, if Elmo doesn't like cookie, what if he doesn't like Cookie Monster? And Sarah's like, that's so sad. But I'm like busting out laughing. And it was just such a dumb like connection to make.
No, I think that's hilarious. That's what I would think.
But like Luke was like scared of this like little Elmo thing when it started talking like a toy. And I'm really? He shouldn't be scared of Elmo. Put on Sesame Street. And so he watched it for a bit. And I think he likes it now.
Okay, cool.
But I was watching that with him and it's pretty good.
Yeah, Prime stuff is probably really good.
Yeah, there's like 10,000 episodes of Sesame Street. So
Jesus Christ, yeah.
Wherever they
maybe
put
watch
it,
a best of.
No, we'll start from the beginning.
Like it's One Piece.
Yeah, fucking One Piece can suck it, dude.
Yeah.
Watch 10 One Pieces. I watched Inside Llewyn Davis, which is a Coen Brothers movie. This is one that I've watched before and I was kind of dreading rewatching. But it's not bad. It's actually really good.
What's going on inside them?
So Llewyn Davis, it's got Oscar Isaac in it. He's like a folk singer.
He's Lou.
Who's struggling. Huh?
Is he Lou?
Llewyn, yeah.
Llewyn.
Yeah. It's like a...
I thought it was Lou and Davis.
No, Llewyn.
Oh, okay, got it.
I guess I did say that kind of fast. Yeah, that's like Polish or something. But this one's got Oscar Isaac, Justin Timberlake, Adam Driver.
Whoa.
John Goodman. It's like depressing.
Is it recent?
2013.
Adam Driver,
like,
really?
Like pre-Star Wars.
Pre-Star Wars Adam Driver.
Mm-hmm. I want to play you a song.
Okay.
And I want to see if you can hear Adam Driver in it, because he sings one of them. I'll turn this up.
That's him, right? I could visualize his face while singing that. He's very
serious. It's exactly what you think.
He's very serious when he's singing it.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, so pretty good. I liked him a lot more this time. I don't know. Maybe I just kind of get their sensibilities a little bit more. I'm not even sure why I watched it the first time. It went up 7 spots on the rankings.
Damn.
Which is pretty good. But I left my Letterboxd rating the same. Just like 3 stars.
Hmm.
3 stars, it's like confident.
Okay, yeah.
You know? But yeah, I actually kind of found myself liking some of the songs. Folk music's okay, but overall kind of a snoozer. If you're sleepy, don't watch that one, you know?
Mm.
And then I watched Drive Away Dolls, which is the first movie by Ethan Coen.
Got it.
He like wrote it with his wife and Joel Coen It's got like
Margaret. How many movies does he have by himself?
Two.
Okay. Was that in Marty? Or that in the Elvis one?
You are thinking of like the Safdie brothers?
Oh, Safdie. That's what I'm thinking of.
No, yeah. This is, so he's got Driveway Dolls and Honey Don't.
Oh, Honey Don't. Yeah.
Yeah. So Margaret Qualley, Pedro Pascal, Matt Damon, Miley Cyrus. Wacky. It's like a lesbian road trip comedy.
Isn't that Honey Don't?
Also a lesbian comedy.
Oh, okay.
I guess they have him and his wife have like an open marriage and she's, you know, sexually fluid or whatever. And so she definitely adds a lot to the themes, I guess.
Interesting.
Yeah. I don't really recommend that one. It's like, it is, there's like some funny parts and it's like a very bizarre movie.
Yeah.
But like, before I knew like his wife like helped write it, I was like, I don't know if you're supposed to be like writing this or if, I don't know if you know how lesbians work.
Yeah.
Because I don't know if this is how it works, you know? Mm-hmm. It's based in like the 90s. So there's, I don't know, things are different or whatever. But yeah, just the things that they kind of like pull off with the plot. I was like, oh, wow. So a driveway is where, say, if we wanted to go to like Florida, which is where they go, you can, and someone wants to ship their car to Florida, we would like work for this company or whatever and just drive a car to Florida to kind of, instead of shipping it or whatever. And that's what they do.
You hire somebody to drive your car to Florida?
Yeah.
Okay.
So they are hired to drive a car to Florida. But in the trunk is like this case and they don't know what's in it. You know, but it turns out it is like a dildo that is modeled after like this politician. And that's like a really important part because it's like not supposed to get out kind of thing. Somehow that'd
what
be like,
it looks like.
Yeah.
Hmm. You did this like it's a big dildo.
Oh, no. That's just me talking with my hands.
All right. Got it. And I was like, I feel like you would want that to get out if you're a politician.
Yeah, like because like it's like a politician who's like a Republican that's running on like family values and stuff like that. Uh-huh. So it's really important that sort of thing doesn't get out.
Yeah, I can't have a dildo.
But also feels like you could just say, oh, that's not it, you know?
No, it's not my dick.
But yeah, it's okay. You know, people like fucking hated this one. And I've heard some people saying it was like the worst movie they've ever seen. It's definitely not that. But it's not like that hard of a watch, you know? It's not unwatchable. You ever watch Blade Runner? Have you ever seen that?
No. Did you watch the director's cut? The final original cut. Director's cut? Oh, the final cut.
Mm-hmm. Which I guess is like the one that Ridley Scott's most satisfied with.
Right.
I suppose.
Out of his like four different cuts.
I didn't even know there was like multiple cuts. I had to make sure that the final cut was a good one.
Yeah, I watched the YouTube video about why there's so many, and it's kind of interesting
for Blade Runner.
Yeah.
And you haven't seen Blade Runner?
No, it's just a good video.
Yeah, it's set in the dystopian future of 2019.
Mm-hmm.
And it's definitely kind of creepy. I didn't really know what to expect with it, I just knew what the poster looked like, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then I've seen some clips of 2049.
Yeah,
I kind of watched this just because I want to get to that.
Yeah, I want to watch that too. It looks great.
Yeah, it's pretty good. I don't know if there's really much of a plot.
That's what a lot of people's criticism is. Yeah.
Yeah. I
there's a lot of Harrison Ford talking and narration.
I was watching it while doing like other stuff, you know, like working. But I was like, was I not paying close enough attention to this? But I felt very seen in like the Letterboxd comments. They're like, what the fuck is this about?
Yeah. You know? Yeah.
But there's like, it's like cool visuals and like very dark. Very like Ridley Scott sci-fi thing, you know, so it like works really well in that aspect, but it doesn't feel that different, like I guess to us, because there's been like 40 years of sci-fi that we've like seen since that.
Yeah,
that they're just stealing from this.
Mm-hmm.
But pretty good. I'm gonna give 3.5 stars. But what are we gonna read next week, David?
What are we gonna read next week?
Good question. Do we got anything special coming up?
Do you think 4 mangas this year is like enough?
I think it's fine.
Okay. So the only thing that really comes out is Rooster Fighter.
Cool.
But I don't necessarily feel the need to do like another manga on top of the
right.
four that we're doing. So really, we could do anything.
Let's get a random book in there.
Yeah, are we going to go random?
We can go random.
Nothing you're itching to do or anything?
I don't think so.
Okay. Leave it up to the gods.
Leave it up to the
leave it up to the sheets.
Yeah. Let's spread those sheets.
Yep. Let's look under the sheets.
Please don't be long Halloween.
Batwoman Elegy.
The fuck is that?
That's like the Batwoman book that's in the compact edition.
Elegy.
Elegy. E-L-E-G-Y.
Is that like the famous one?
I think it's probably like a definitive run.
Is that the Rebirth one?
I don't know.
It's not. Greg Rucka, J.H. Williams III, and J.H. Williams. They're two different people.
Oh, it's like a... Wait, what the fuck? 192. I guess we could do that. 854 to 860. Is that six issues? Seven?
Six. Yeah, I'm done with this.
Okay.
So you've put this one in, it seems like.
Yeah, just because it's a part of the compact.
Inspired by Alice in Wonderland.
Interesting.
I don't know how that's going to play into a Batwoman book, but yeah, let's do it. I'm glad it was a DC book because we need to get our DC numbers up. I want to.
Why?
Because we have way more Marvel than I would have thought. Way more Marvel episodes than I would have thought.
I think that's good because I feel like there's probably less Marvel books ahead that we'll be reading, you know?
Yeah, true. They've been having some stinkers.
Not necessarily with just movies, but just like books that we want to review, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
Cool. Batwoman Elegy.
Alrighty.
Next week.
Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching, everybody. We got a link tree in our bio. You can like, comment, subscribe. You can email us at tradewarspod@gmail.com.
Yep.
Tell us what your favorite Jeff Loeb and Tim Sale collaboration is.
Yeah, I would be interested to know. It's probably Long Halloween, but if it's not, also let us know.
Is Long Halloween dense? Let us know.
Is the Hulk one worth?
I have it physically, but I won't flip through it. I'll wait for your email. Let us know.
Yes.
And goodbye.
Goodbye.